This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Eleanor Bennett, here with your top stories this Wednesday. Pickens County Commissioners got an update on child care during a work session yesterday. The county received about $3.4 million in federal COVID relief funds, half of which is going towards child care. Caroline Yanez has more.
$1.5 million is going towards a teacher stipend program, which provides funds directly to teachers through 2025. That leaves about $150,000 still available for childcare that need to be spent by the end of 2026 per federal requirements. Ashley Pearl is Pitkin County's Community Resiliency Manager. She says one way to spend that money is for a one-time maintenance grant program for small improvements like paint, carpets, windows, and bear-proof doors.
The other challenge is that staff come into these spaces that are really hard to run a program in, to work in, because they're not kept up that well, they're not maintained, and it's pulling on budgets. So to me, this could really fill a nice little gap.
Commissioners supported getting energy assessments for some of these childcare spaces, which could save on utility bills down the line. The other $1.8 million in COVID relief funds have been allocated for housing. Caroline Yanez, Aspen Public Radio News.
A community conversation on the future of the Crystal River will take place tomorrow night in Marble. It's being hosted by the Wild and Scenic Feasibility Collaborative. The summit will focus on what people value about the river, their hopes and fears for its future, and what kind of management residents might be interested in seeing. The collaborative plans to hold another summit in September to allow people to compare and evaluate future management options. Some advocates are currently seeking a wild and scenic designation for the Crystal River, which will also be discussed. You can sign up for tomorrow's summit online. There's also an option to join a steering committee. The gathering is at 5 p.m. at the Marble Firehouse. The Aspen Institute's Project Play initiative is on a year-long mission to find ways to help kids stay active in the Roaring Fork Valley. The regional needs assessment will result in a state of play report for communities from Aspen to Parachute. John Solomon helps run communications for the initiative.
We really take a deep dive exploring what are the opportunities and what are the barriers for more kids to be physically active and participating in sports, regardless of their income or ability.
Project Play is based in Washington, D.C. as part of the Institute's Sports and Society program. The initiative has done about a dozen other state of play reports for communities across the country. The process includes focus groups, stakeholder interviews, and a survey for kids that's already available online. You can find the survey at as.pn/COYouthSurvey. Aspenites who spend time in our sister city of Shimokapu, Japan, will now have an easier time getting a driver's license there. That's because government officials in Colorado and Japan have agreed to simplify the process. Colorado already has similar agreements with Canada, France, Germany, South Korea, and Taiwan. The Basalt Library will host its next free legal clinic on May 11th from 2 to 5. Volunteer attorneys will answer questions and explain the process of civil law in Colorado. That includes family law, landlord-tenant law, and other civil law matters. Sign-ups are through the library. The event takes place on the second Thursday of every month. In local arts news, the Roaring Fork Youth Orchestra's spring concert will bring together nearly 65 young musicians from throughout the region. The show is on Sunday at the 3rd Street Center in Carbondale. Their performance will feature dances and festive music from the Americas and Europe. The music ranges from polkas to waltzes to tangos, and the program includes a performance of Gloria Estefan's Let's Get Loud. Sunday's concert is free and family-friendly and will start at 4. And if you missed Aspen Films' Shorts Fest earlier this month, the Crystal Theater in Carbondale is hosting several encore screenings this weekend. The award-winning and special mention films will screen on Friday and Saturday nights, and the family program will screen on Sunday. In statewide news, Governor Jared Polis signed a bill into law yesterday that will help farmers and ranchers repair their own equipment. Lucas Brady Woods reports it's the first law of its kind in the U.S.
Governor Polis signed the bill next to a huge tractor outside the state capitol. The so-called right to repair law requires agriculture equipment manufacturers to hand over parts, software, instructions, and other tools necessary for owners to make repairs. Usually, owners have to go directly to a manufacturer or dealer for maintenance. In many rural areas, that can be time-consuming and expensive. Polis says the new law will save time and money for some of Colorado's most important workers.
We know that Colorado's farmers and ranchers are the heart of our thriving agricultural industry, our number one export, putting food on the table, propelling the next generation of jobs.
The new law takes effect at the beginning of next year. Colorado lawmakers passed another right to repair law last year for the owners of powered wheelchairs. I'm Lucas Brady Woods at the State Capitol.
In regional news from the Mountain West News Bureau, a new report from the American Lung Association finds that our region is among those most heavily impacted by ozone and particulate pollution. Murphy Woodhouse reports.
Those pollutants can increase the risk of premature birth, damage airways, and worsen heart disease, among a number of other serious health impacts. This year's State of the Air report again found that particulate pollution got worse across a broad swath of the West. Wildfires are a key factor. Reno, Salt Lake City, and Boise were among the 25 cities most impacted by short-term particulate pollution. Denver and other Colorado Front Range cities were on the ozone list. University of Utah atmospheric scientist Jessica Haskins says volatile organic compounds, or VOCs, and nitrogen oxides are two of ozone pollution's key ingredients.
The other thing we have going on in the western U.S. is we have a lot of oil and gas, and they can emit plenty of VOCs in that process.
The West's high elevations and potent sun are also at play. Efforts to reduce this pollution will need to be tailored to different communities. But Haskins says residents can help by doing things like not driving or mowing their lawns on low air quality days. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
The Aspen Public Radio Newscast is produced by our news team, which includes Hallie Zander, Caroline Yanez, Kaya Williams, Brent Gardner-Smith, and me, your host, Eleanor Bennett. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.